Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. Let us open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. We say hallelujah to your name. We are grateful, Father God, and thankful, Father God, for you giving us this day. That's why we rejoice, Father God. We rejoice because you gave us the breath of life, and the breath of life that we could have life and have it more abundantly. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and your forgiveness, so we can move forward in you. We thank you, Father God, as I go forward, I ask you that I, as an individual, decrease, and that the Holy Spirit will rise big up in me, Father God. Father God, giving me the ability to share your word, to share your knowledge, to share your witness, wisdom, Father God, in a way that we all can receive, Father God, in our heart, that we would operate, Father God, from the heart faith knowledge, Father God, not the head knowledge. So we praise and honor you, Father God, that you continue to guide us, direct us, and help us through the Holy Spirit to do your will in Jesus' name. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited because we've got a new series going, and I think it's some good stuff. I know that it's powerful. It's going to be rewarding for those who have ears to hear. This is what's going to be important, that we be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, but we be more willing to gain God's word. For the quote for the day are, the Holy Spirit will illuminate the mind of the people, make us yearn for God's word, and take the spiritual truth and make it understandable to us, because in all things we should get understanding. And we are filled with the Spirit of God to do, we are not filled with the Spirit of God to do easy things. He fills us with his Spirit so we can do the impossible thing. Joyce Meyer. And the scripture tells us in 1 John 4:13, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us, he has given us his Spirit. And Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And in Romans 8:6, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. A friend of mine had told me a story, that something that happened because he lives in Minnesota, and he was telling me about people just in a rush, like moving around like a New York minute. Well, one situation, he was telling me about a couple who had an email mix-up. So it goes something like this. So this couple who lived in Minnesota, who decided to go to Florida for a few days to thaw out during this particular cold winter. Since both spouses worked, they had difficulty coordinating their schedule. So the decision was made to have the husband leave for Florida on a certain day, and the wife would follow him a day later. The man made it down to Florida and arrived at his hotel. Upon getting his room, he decided to open his laptop and send his wife back in Minnesota an email. However, he left off one letter in typing his wife's email address and sent the email off without realizing his error. Thus, in another part of the country, a widow had just returned from the funeral of her husband, a pastor of many years who had been called to glory just a few days earlier. She decided to check her email because she was expecting to hear from her husband's relatives and friends. But upon reading the email, the first thing she did was scream loudly and fainted and fell out on the floor. The son rushed into the room and found his mother on the floor. He said, "Mother, mother, what's wrong?" She pointed to the computer. As her son glanced up at the computer screen and saw the following email message, it went like this. "To my loving wife, I've been just checked in. Everything has been pre-prepared for your arrival here tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Your devoted husband. P.S. It sure is hot down here." The moral of the story is, when you're led by the Spirit, you will be more apt to follow the fruit of the Spirit of patience and her perfect work. Otherwise, one drop of a letter could cause you to have a world of hurt. Today's show is Understanding and Developing in the Holy Spirit, the Fruits of the Spirit and the Sword of the Spirit. I call this the Trifecta of God's Power. The journey of life is a funny thing. Right from the beginning of our developmental process, we start our journey being programmed to think, feel, and act according to the world's concept of right and wrong, do's and don'ts, and how to move through our life journey. Having some innate qualities which defines our uniqueness, there will be some differences, but for the most part, we move according to the wizard's colors for the day. We abide by social laws, fashion, food choices, perspective of who, what, its powers and status, basically following the trends of life. What was once acceptable in the 1900s is outdated, unacceptable, and to some degree viewed as unrealistic, not practical for the 21st century. However, based on God's word, this does not seem to be God's intent. The scripture tells us, in the beginning, God created us in their image, not the world's image or ideal, but God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It confirms this in his word when it says in Genesis 1:26-28, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In image of God created he man and female. Created he them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and every living thing that moves upon the earth." So we can see that this is the way God intended for us to be, which was in their image, where mankind met God in three different forms. God the Father revealed in the Old Testament to be the Creator, Lord, Father, and Judge. God the Son who lives on earth among us as human beings. And God, the Holy Spirit, who filled us with new life and power. I realize this is a very general statement, but the point remains that the Trinity of God, the Father, is regarded as the first person of the Trinity, followed by the second person, God, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the third person, God, the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we truly were to be image bearers of the Trinity. I believe, the probability of our society being in this world, Christ, will probably be minimal. But due to our mind being programmed and conditioned to the fallen worldview, we have become compromised in our God-given journey. Thus, it stands to reason why God's word would tell us in Romans 12:2, "Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." So therefore, the objective was for us to follow God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. There were God. This is where God allowed himself to come in the human form through Jesus and then leave us with the Holy Spirit. They both maintained God's image to follow his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Hallelujah. However, from the fall, from the first set of children, if you will, missed this whole objective. We seem to continue to fall short ourselves. Well, it's no wonder that God's word tells us that he would provide and supply our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Well, Jesus would save us through the sacrifice to give us eternal life, and the Holy Spirit would guide us through this earthly life. This is what leads me to the session about understanding and developing in the Holy Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, and the sword of the Spirit. You see how powerful we keep talking about the Spirit, not the flesh. Now, when we think of the Holy Spirit and what he was to Jesus on this earth, being a teacher, a counselor, an illuminator of the scripture, an inspirer, an advocate, and the power source that Jesus relied on throughout his whole ministry, where he thought so much of the Holy Spirit that I can imagine that when he was praying to his Father, he would ask him to let the Holy Spirit come upon man to continue to be the image bearer for the world in order to continue his Father's plan. And the scripture confirms some of this when he says in John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give another advocate to help you and be with you forever. Ain't that going to take off? He ain't no fair weather friend. He going to be with you forever. And in Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Trust him so that you may overflow with hope by the power, again, the power, the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. So let me share a few points from Dr. Charles Stanley, who provides some relevant aspects of who the Holy Spirit is to us. First, he says that the Holy Spirit is not an it, but a person who is a member of the Holy Trinity, where he is inseparable from the Father and the Son, where he is one nature, character, identity with them. Yet at the same time, he's a unique person. He has a specific identity and function, just as Jesus had a specific identity and function, and the Father has a specific identity and function, and so do we. So this is why we shouldn't get caught up in what other people are doing. So I always tell my son, it's not what they do, it's what you do, because that's who's going to be accountable, you. So that's what they were about. But for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God Almighty. The Holy Spirit is Christ Jesus, the same Spirit who indwells in Christ, and the Holy Spirit also dwells in us today. And what is the Holy Spirit's role in this Trinity? To fill, energize, empower, compel behavior, produce quality of character, and work in and through God's creation. That's us. And that's significant. See, a lot of things that we struggle with, and I struggle with a lot of things in my behavior, in my attitude, and some qualities of my character. And I listen to different people, and I try to be a person that's quick to listen. I very rarely get angry, to listen so I can learn. Because when I look in the mirror, I want to look in the mirror and remember my reflection. I want to know who I am. I want to remember God's word and his development of me. And see, the Holy Spirit helps us with that. It brings all things to our remembrance. And in that, when you can remember what God's word is about, that power comes. It energizes you. It motivates you. As I was praying this morning, Lord, I want to have a love affair with you that creates that passion. Because when you fall in love with somebody, oh, you want to know them. You want to spend time with them. You want to talk to them. You want to talk 24/7 if you can. You all in. That's what I want to get to. So I know I need that polishing. And that polishing is what the Holy Spirit does. So here's some key points we want to consider. The Holy Spirit is not the creator, but there is no creation without him. He is not the Father, but there is no confirmation of our relationship with the Father without him. And he is not the entire summation of God Almighty, but there is no expression of God's will apart from him. And he is not the Son, but there is no awareness of sin and no saving the knowledge of Jesus Christ apart from him. And this is my favorite. He is not Jesus, but Jesus didn't do anything apart from the Holy Spirit's empowerment. Jesus did not do anything without the Holy Spirit's empowerment. That hallelujah, that's powerful. So what is he to the Holy Spirit to us believers? The Holy Spirit is God's promise to us. For you see, the Holy Spirit has this unique relationship with believers. The Word tells us that if we have Christ and the Holy Spirit of God, we can be victorious. Why? Because he has sealed the commitment to Jesus. Thus, when we accept Jesus Christ as our atonement for our sins, the Holy Spirit, if you will, automatically seals that decision that we made before the Father in heaven. Well, we belong to God forever. And he say, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. That's beautiful. That's worth its weight in gold. However, conversely, if we do not have the Holy Spirit living in us, we haven't received Jesus Christ as our Savior. He is God who seal and guarantee everything for us. We can't see ourselves really walking in the life of Christianity, or if you will, or walking as Christians without the Holy Spirit. And I personally have heard many questions around this, and I thought in my early years, maybe this is a little bit off. However, when you think about it, how can you separate the Trinity? You can't. So when we confess with our sins and ask God for forgiveness, we receive the Holy Spirit. And here's where the Holy Spirit of God came and dwelt in our spirit and claimed us as his own. Hallelujah. Claimed us as his own. Even though he had blew the breath of life in us early on, you know, as he said, created me a clean heart and renewed the right spirit. We receive the right spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. We get that power. And when we get that power, we can go and we can do mighty things. As Judge Meyer said, we go now and go looking for the easy stuff. We can go do the impossible stuff. That's laying hands on people so they can be healed. Not by our might, as Peter said, but through the Holy Spirit. We can pray and our prayers would be answered. We can move those mountains that come up against us because our faith is powerful. This is where we begin to build a full relationship with our Holy Father, the Son, because the Holy Spirit is inseparable from the Father and the Son. He is now at work to produce the same quality of life in our lives as he did in Jesus Christ. He lives in us and through us. Now, our Lord and Savior promised this to his disciple, and this is the promise that's extended to us today. The scripture tells us in John 14:26, Jesus said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And in addition, the scripture in Luke 24:49 says, during his ascension, he said to his disciple, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you endure with the power from of high. Once we receive that power, we can do the things that Jesus was doing, but we have our part to do. We have to believe. You say, we can't receive anything unless we have that faith. And then in Acts 1:8, it said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And I know by being on this line, this is coming to pass. I have to say, because I was thinking about this, and I just want to give a lot of credit to my Pastor Teresa and Elder QT for believing in me and giving me this opportunity. See, they're the ones that they say iron is sharpening iron. They saw something through their spirit. They saw something in my spirit to give me the opportunity. For this is not an easy thing to do, to talk about God's word, but what a rewarding thing to do. Which once was impossible for me to do, now God has made it possible. And he works through man to help each other so we can go out and do what he called us to do. These are Pastor Teresa and Elder QT are truly what you call creating discipleship. They're the ones that help us to grow. And I just want to thank them in between all this because this is powerful. And once the Holy Spirit poured out where it could now be heard and seen, in Peter, Acts 2:32-33, it says, God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are witness of this. Exalted to the right hand of God, he received the promise, the Father of the Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. When they saw the fire and they heard the rushing wind and sound like the waves, this was that power coming. That's why sometimes people get it as the Holy Spirit being an it, but it's a person. And so what else does the Holy Spirit do for us? It gives believers power. In that, to his Father, we can see that we receive the Holy Spirit. See, the Father knew we needed the Holy Spirit to be able to continue to be faithful, steadfast, and effective in our walk on this journey with God, where we can truly live the Christian life. And this is not easy. There is no magical pills. There's no magical transformation that all of a sudden now you're a new person because you're in this flesh. And Jesus, I always go back to this, because Jesus validated, it's just amazing what the word will do. Jesus validated this because he himself was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was, that flesh didn't want to do right. And he said, they're always opposition. They're always in opposition. They don't want to line up. The flesh want to do what they want to do. But Jesus understood, again, through the Holy Spirit, that he had to execute God's will, God's good, and God's purpose. And I remember Rick Warren say, you have to have a purpose-driven life. The Holy Spirit can help you to have that purpose-driven life. Because once we move with a purpose, we used to say this in the Army, move with a purpose, the mission becomes real. And the mission is for us to go out and share the good news with everyone. Let them know that they too can have the power of the Holy Spirit. Let them know they too don't have to be depressed, don't have to be anxious, don't have to be down, don't have to feel like they're alone, don't have to feel like they're nobody, don't have to feel like nobody loves them, don't have to feel like they can't accomplish something. They don't have to listen to people making judgment on them, because God has made the decision that you were somebody because of the fact that he gave us what he gave Jesus, the Holy Spirit. That's powerful. And as I talked about this developmental process, I often think about, man, if I had this knowledge back then when I was a young fella. But people give you, they always say that people can only give you what they have. And so sometimes when I would talk to my soldiers and they would talk about their fathers and they would say they're angry with them, they don't like them, and all these other choice words, I would say your father could only give you what he had. If he didn't have the knowledge, how could he give you the knowledge? If he didn't have the wisdom, how could he give you the wisdom? But see, this is why we have to continue to work at being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because when we continue to work towards renewing our mind, and God's word is like a merge, it's like a purging. And yes, as I use the example of the goblet that has poison in it, and then the endless running water, if you want to say from a faucet, it's just running. And there's a merger. There's the old you, and then there's the new you from the Holy Spirit giving you the right spirit, and they're merging. And yet, as that water merges in from the living water of God, the poison is rolling on the side. And eventually you see it get clearer and clearer and clearer. Now, I don't foresee us having it totally clear while we walk the earth. But I do know that when we hit eternity, it'll be pure as gold. That beautiful crystal clear look. So this is exciting about it. It's something that we can look forward to. But while we walk the earth, as I said, the Holy Spirit gives us something to look forward to, that we can use that power to do the impossible. We can use that power to move the mountains. We can use that power when we pray, we shake up the world, as Muhammad Ali would say. We shake up the world because they want to know, what's this Christian life about? It's not exempting us from our flaws, but it's polishing us up. It's polishing us up. It's making us now get like a diamond, get crystal clear. And that's what we want. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit in me. See, God knew something was broken here, but it needed to be changed. It needed to be transformed. This is what the Holy Spirit would do. This is what he would do. And the scripture tells us in Apostle Paul, Ephesians 1:19-21, the exceeding greatness of God's power towards us who believe, according to the work of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly place, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion. He wants us to know we have full resurrection power in our lives. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that is able to raise us from our sin. That is the power that raised us from our sin. This power is above any other principality, power, dominion, or might. Nothing is more powerful than the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. if we do our part to follow God's will, he will be able to use us and lead us to accomplish what he set out to do, which is to let the world know that Jesus is Lord and that we got the power of the good news, the sword of the Spirit, to go forward. Next week, I'm going to get into the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. This is something to behold, because when you get into the word of God, when you really get into it, it becomes your passion. When you hear the word of God speak to you, to the Holy Spirit will illuminate that scripture, and it's like this interaction, this dialogue between you and God. And he's telling you what you need to do to be victorious in life, even though the battle's already won. He's preparing you to be that true warrior. As I always say, now you have the spirit of a soldier. And I know this much about a soldier after 37 years of service. Not one soldier is going to leave anybody behind. If they get shot, if they lose a limb, if they think they can get back out there and get in the battle, they will. Because again, as Joyce said, we're not looking for easy. We're looking to do impossible. And how do we do impossible? Not through our might, through the might of the Holy Spirit that God laid upon us and put in our heart and our spirit to go forward, to activate the faith that he gave us, to move those mountains that get in the way. So again, we cannot get caught up in the fears of the world. So again, right now, the fears of the world are just exacerbating themselves. One of my friends was telling me about another thing with the virus. I said, you know, I don't need to hear all that. Because all that is doing is creating fear. And there may be some reality to this, because they say it's a false evidence appear real. But see, I have the true feeling and the true power and the true faith, because faith that I have is full assurance in the heavens. I trust God. I believe God. And when he gave me that power, he let me know I could go forward and be victorious. And I know everyone in the sound of my voice can too. God is no respecter of person. The sun and the rain come down on the good and the evil. But as we move towards learning God's word, we move from having an evil heart to the clean heart that we need to have to be victorious in God's word, to be victorious in God's mission for us, and to be victorious in fulfilling our purpose on this life. We are destined to do what God called us to do. And I think I know it's true. God cannot lie. His word do not return void. Now, if you want some of this good stuff, this good eating, as we say, this good eating, well, these three squares, a meal here that you really get down, and as I like to say, I had a friend used to make a sweet potato pie so good, make you take the shoes off and dig off in the carpet because it had you tingling all over. That's what this word will do for you. How can you have this? In Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth and that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou can be saved. And then once you become saved because you confess those sins, then this is a process. Let no one lie to you. This is not an easy walk. Let nobody deceive you that it's some magical change going to happen. This requires work. See, there's no room for the weak and the skimmish. This requires work, because Jesus was not weak, was not skimmish. Jesus took on the task and the will that God called him to do, and he had to suffer. So it ain't going to be a bed of roses. There are going to be times. This thing that we're going through now with this worldwide plague, if you will, this is a part of the suffering, so in various degrees. But one thing I can say from my own lifetime, plagues have come and plagues have gone because God is in control. And if we continue to trust him, we'll be standing. We'll be standing. And as we stand, we can stand in glory. But as Paul said, I've learned to be content, even on one side or the other, whether in life or in death. I got it made, because there's a reality to it. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. So, but while I walk here on this earth, I'm going to utilize the Holy Spirit to be victorious. This I know we all can do. And again, I like to tell you, I appreciate you taking the time to listen. Don't forget to check out kingdombuilderplaza@gmail.com, Kingdom Builder Development, where you too can gain the knowledge and wisdom from various ministers and pastors and apostles and speakers who God is using. And I'm sure they didn't always think of themselves being on radio or speaking to the public, but God is using, because he didn't give us the spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. Again, I thank you for taking the pause for the cause to allow me to share what God is putting in my heart. I look forward to sharing more with you next week on the next edition of this. In Jesus' name, you walk in faith and not by sight. Keep fighting the good fight of faith, because your rewards will come. You have a blessed week.